When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon us this day, that we might understand your word and live by it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is the day of Pentecost. Pentecost means 50th. 50 days after Passover, the Jews hold a harvest festival. And 50 days after that first Easter, the disciples are in Jerusalem for the harvest festival. It's 10 days after Jesus ascended back into heaven. And that's where our reading starts. I'm going to look at it closely, so it's worth turning up if you have the Bible to hand. Acts chapter 2, page 1093 in the church Bibles. Acts chapter 2. I'm going to look at this reading in three sections. Firstly, the events. Secondly, the effects. And finally, the explanation. So firstly, the events. God fills all his people with his Holy Spirit. Have a look at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Jesus' disciples are all together in one place. This isn't just the 12 disciples, it's around 120 people, men and women. So what happens as they meet? Well, look on to verse 2. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. A sound like violent wind, but it's not ordinary wind. Tongues of fire resting on them, but the people aren't burnt up. Wind and fire. If we've read our Old Testament, these are sure signs of God at work. Have you ever experienced really strong wind? Patricia and I faced strong wind in Iceland many years ago. We were packing up our tent one morning and it suddenly took off. I chased it 100 meters down the road and I finally caught up with the tent stuck on a barbed wire fence. It was never the same again. Fortunately, we didn't get tongues of fire as well. We were in sight of the volcano Hekla, but Hekla stayed peaceful that day. Well, it was just ordinary wind in Iceland. But when it's extraordinary wind and fire, that's sure signs of God at work. So what is God up to? Look on to verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The disciples begin to speak in other languages, not just the Greek they learnt at school, languages they've never been taught. It's a sure sign God is at work in them. And God fills all his people with his Holy Spirit. So what's the relevance to us today? Well, we all need God's Holy Spirit. If we're going to achieve anything useful for God, we need his Holy Spirit. It's one of Jesus' last instructions to his followers. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. That's from chapter 1 of Acts. If we're going to achieve anything useful for God, we need his Holy Spirit. But the great news is this. We can all have God's Holy Spirit. Have you truly turned to Jesus? If you've turned to Jesus, you have received God's Holy Spirit. We all need God's Holy Spirit, but God fills all his people with his Holy Spirit. Secondly, then, the effects. The crowd are amazed at what God is doing. Look on to verse 5. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. There are Jews living throughout the Roman Empire and beyond. There's a great long list, which was very well read for us by Wendy. But in modern terms, it's Iran, Iraq, Syria, Israel, Turkey, Egypt, Libya, Italy, Greece, and Saudi Arabia. And they've all come to Jerusalem for the Harvest Festival. They speak many different languages at home, but they hear the disciples speaking their own languages. And look on to verse 7. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language?" The schools in Galilee are not known for their foreign language teaching. It's an uncultured backwater. The nearest equivalent in England is probably Oxford. So, sorry, that was unnecessary. So what are these Jews hearing? Well, look on to verse 11, the second half. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. It's not just random phrases. The disciples are telling them how great God is, and they're telling them in their own language. The crowd are amazed at what God is doing. Next month, I'm off to the International Maths Olympiad at Bath University. I'm going to be chief invigilator. There will be over 600 school children sitting 2 4.5-hour exams. Each exam has 3 very hard maths problems. Those children come from over 100 countries. The exam papers are translated into 57 different languages, and I need to make sure each child gets the correct paper. But that's as far as it goes. At the end of the 4.5 hours, I'm going to say, "Stop writing, please," but only in English. I just hope they will all understand. If I managed to say, "Stop writing, please," in all 57 languages, they'd be quite impressed. I could probably manage 3 languages before resorting to Google Translate. But if I were to tell them how great God is in 57 languages, they would be utterly amazed. The crowd are amazed at what God is doing. But how do they respond? Look down to verse 12. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some of them genuinely want to understand what's going on. But there's another response in verse 13. Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Some of them just turn it all into a joke, and not a very convincing one. So what's the relevance to us today? Well, God can work through us by his Holy Spirit. I don't know how many adults we have in church today, but I would guess it's about 120. That seems so pathetic. The population of Tunbridge alone is about 40,000. What can 120 people do among so many? Well, that first day of Pentecost started with 120 Christians. By the end of the day, there were over 3,000. Today, it's been great to witness Evita's baptism, one baptism. That day in Jerusalem, there were nearly 3,000 baptisms. And that's what the Holy Spirit can do through feeble humans. Let's tell people how great God is. Let's tell them in a language they understand. There will always be some who mock us. There'll always be some who want to know more. And in the end, there will always be some who join us. God can work through us by his Holy Spirit. The crowd are amazed at what God is doing. Finally, then, the explanation. God is fulfilling his promises. Have a look at verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning." Peter stands up to speak to the crowd. Have you thought how amazing that is? 7 weeks earlier, Peter can't even admit he knows Jesus to one servant girl. And now he's speaking to a crowd of thousands. God is working through Peter by his Holy Spirit. So what is Peter's explanation? Look on to verse 16. "No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people." The last days are the entire period from Jesus' ascension until he returns to judge. And in those last days, God promises to pour out his spirit on all people. So who are these all people? Look on to verse 17. "Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." It's not all people without exception, but it is all people without distinction. Male and female, young and old, servants and leaders. Prophesying isn't necessarily predicting the future. It's speaking to people on behalf of God. In the Old Testament, God sent his Spirit on just a few individuals. He does it to equip them for very special tasks. Judges like Samson, prophets like Samuel, kings like David. But in the New Testament, God pours out his Spirit on all his people. He does it to equip us for the whole of life. At Pentecost, God is fulfilling his promise to pour out his Spirit on all people. But there's another promise that God has yet to fulfill. Look on to verse 19. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. There's a great day still to come. It's the day Jesus will return to judge the world. That will be a glorious day for all of us who have turned to Jesus. But what about the rest? What about those who've not yet turned to Jesus? Well, look on to verse 21. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a great promise, isn't it? There's still time. There's still time before God keeps his final promise. God is fulfilling his promises. So what's the relevance to us today? Well, I think it's pretty clear, isn't it? We must all call on the name of the Lord. If we want to be saved from God's judgment, we must call on the name of the Lord. God has yet to keep his promise to judge the world, but don't take his patience for granted. Today, God has given us another day. He's given us another opportunity to call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And God gives us a great promise here. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But there will come a day when there's no more opportunity. We must all call on the name of the Lord while we can. God is fulfilling his promises. To sum up then, the events. God fills all his people with his Holy Spirit. The effects. The crowd are amazed at what God is doing. And the explanation. God is fulfilling his promises. In September 1988, the boys were all assembled in Tunbridge School Chapel. A teacher was speaking on this very passage from Acts chapter 2. He was speaking about tongues of fire resting on the disciples. Some hours later, the boys could see tongues of fire spurting from the chapel roof. They watched their chapel rapidly burning to the ground. It was our sort of Notre Dame moment within Tunbridge. And what was the name of that ill-fated speaker? Well, his name was Bill Burns. God set fire to that chapel. And I long for God to set fire to this church. Not literally, of course. You'll be pleased to know that on Friday, the welcome team and others met for your safety. They were all thoroughly trained in what to do in the unlikely event of a fire. But I long for God to set fire to this church by his Holy Spirit, to equip each of us to take his message to Tunbridge and to the world, to tell them how great our God is, to tell them God's precious promises, to tell them that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Have a last look at God's promise to us in verse 18. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Let's pray as we finish. Father God, we pray that you would pour out your spirit on your servants, on us, both men and women, young and old. Pray that you would pour out your spirit on us, that we might prophesy, that we might tell the world how great you are. Equip us for that task that we cannot do in our own strength. In Jesus' name, amen.